Well, it's good to see everybody again, even though I can't see you, you can see me. The last time we looked at justification, a one-time occurrence, we're justified once forever, saved from the penalty of hell, and sanctification, a lifelong process, resulting in not having to live daily under the dominion of sin. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Sanctification is the process by which we are building our personal relationship with the Lord, which strengthens us to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're supposed to be looking at the devil's management plan or mismanagement plan for us to derail us. But the Lord has kind of moved me. I'm going to use this lesson, but I'm more going to focus on sanctification and continuing that thought process, because since last week I've thought a lot about the process of sanctification, and sanctification is obviously growth, and many times we don't grow because we lose our focus. Titus 2:12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And we're supposed to, last week we talked about conforming by being transformed. Romans 12:1 and 2 specifically tells us that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transforming versus conforming by performing. In other words, sometimes maybe a young believer might say, after they get saved, what are the rules? What do I have to change? As a matter of fact, over the years, I can say that a person I have witnessed to will not be willing to get saved because they feel like they're going to have to be living by a certain rule and certain way of life, that they cannot do certain things. When they do that, they're falling into the devil's trap, because the devil looks at salvation as being, tries to convince people that salvation is restrictive instead of producing freedom in our life. By wanting to know rules, the believer is conforming by performing. Performing, though, will never lead to consistent behavioral modification. And an example here is the Pharisees surrounded the law with so many traditions and rules that they made it something very different from what it was meant to be. God never intended for man to perform under the law before Christ's death, nor does he intend for man to perform to please him under grace. So again, Romans specifically 12:1 and 2 specifically tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This can't happen separate from God's Word. Many times in the New Testament, we are told what the transformed mind should or will produce. So if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 12, I'm going to read there. 2 Peter 1:2-12. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Interestingly, Peter states, I will remind you of these things, even though you know them. We all need to be reminded of the things we already know. We as humans tend to be forgetful hearers. As stated in James 1:23 and 24, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Straightway means immediately. It means right away. We are forgetful hearers, and we do need to be reminded. I've never really focused on verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. These are all the things that he stated prior. And James emphasizes this in his epistle. That is a vivid picture, to look at your face in the glass, in the mirror, and walk away and you forget what manner of man you are. You forget what you look like, forget, you know, what you have, who you are. Peter is outlining here steps of growth, steps only acquired through growing knowledge of the Lord through his word. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Taking hold of the promises in Scripture, which he calls precious. They are precious. It resulted in our salvation, becoming new creatures, and escaping the corruption that is in the world. But then by diligently seeking him, sanctification is outlined by these steps of growth we see in verses 5 through 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the process of growth. This is growth. You know, this is progress. Many times in my Christian life, I have not grown. I have been stagnant. And when you're stagnant, you're really going backwards in your life. There have been times when I've been, quote, too busy to read, too busy to pray, too busy to study, too busy to think about loving others as I love myself. So we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love others as we love ourselves. You know, we are supposed to love others, and when we're focused on what we need to do, we forget. We forget to grow. We need these reminders, because as you look at these reminders and we put these into practice, the light, God's light will shine to others. God's light in us will shine to others. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to grow in knowledge of the Lord, and we want to emulate him. Several months ago in RU, we looked at Galatians 5, 16 through 23, if you turn there. We spent a lot of time here. I'm going to read it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, walking in the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And as a result, we will produce fruit. Fruit that is spiritual fruit. Many of these fruits are attributes of Christ. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. As a result, we'll put off fleshly behaviors. Ephesians 4:22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We are put on the Spirit-led fruits of righteousness. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3:12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. All these attributes of Christ. And verse 14 says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I love how I'm not very bright. So, I really need to be told clearly what's right and what's wrong. I love how the Word of God gives us clear contrast regarding what is spiritual versus what is carnal. You know, I also love, just as an aside, how when the Lord is giving a parable, He explains it for dummies like me. If we seriously consider the lifelong process of sanctification, we have an unlimited resource guide which compares and contrasts what the Spirit-led life should look like. The life that is led by the flesh, I know this, our growth is dependent on whether we are diligently seeking Him or we take a casual approach to our daily walk with the Lord. Like the forgetful hearer looking in the mirror and walking away, forgetting what manner of man he is. You know, many times through my walk, I've had a casual approach to sanctification and growth and getting to know the Lord Jesus. I am so thankful for the curriculum in the Reformers Unanimous because the focus is on comparing and contrasting the carnal walk versus the spiritual walk. And the emphasis on the strength and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The potential there. As I mentioned last week, we limit the Spirit of God's working in our lives. We limit it. It is limitless. I give the example, and I've given the example of the apostles, how before they had the Holy Spirit in their lives, they were weak, they were confused, they misunderstood, they didn't understand at all. And then after the Lord ascended and they were given the Holy Spirit, then they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. What changed? Everything changed. They had this unlimited power to preach the Word of God and the knowledge of the Word of God that they had. Why? Because they were diligent. They had the Holy Spirit, and they diligently sought the Lord in their life. Diligently seeking the Lord is the key to growth. And you can't do it separate from the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105, all of Psalm 119 pretty much talks about the significance and the importance of the Word of God. But I love Psalm 119, 105, where it says the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Well, how do we do when we walk in darkness? We get tripped up pretty easily, don't we? But if we use the Word of God as our lamp and our guide, and also the resources which we don't have as we had before, which is the local church, the preaching of the Word, the fellowship, the encouragement of others. That's really what I love about and miss about the RU program, is the fellowship, the encouragement, and the support that we give each other. I was so thankful to hear from Joanna this week. She sent us a nice card, and I had seen her on What We Miss About Church video last week, and I was so excited to see her. I can't wait to see everybody. But I hope we will diligently seek Him in our life, putting on and putting off what is necessary to please Him. You know, these contrasts are so helpful. They're so clear. We know when we're walking in the flesh. We know when we're not doing what's right if we have the Spirit of God in us. It's always going to be a struggle. But if we're diligently seeking Him and in His Word daily and in prayer and in fellowship and under the preaching of the Word of God, whether it be in person or over the internet, listening to the right kind of music in our life, making sure we have the right associations, the right people. You know, one of the principles in RU is people who don't love the Lord will not help us follow the Lord. We want people that have the same attitude. We want to be around people that have the same attitude and desire to please the Lord as we do. We want people to encourage us to grow and grow and grow. As I get older, I have realized how many opportunities I have missed over the years to serve others, to serve the Lord, and to serve others, and to respond appropriately in situations that the Lord presents me with. By walking in the Spirit and diligently seeking Him, we will have those victories. We will be more aware. We won't be like that person that just hears something and walks away and says, "That's great." We want to be people that apply the Word of God to our life on a daily basis. You know, that speaks to, again, how we respond to situations in our families, in our marriages, in the workplace, in the world. We've had a ton of opportunities to give out tracts and to speak to people since the Lord has brought the coronavirus to America. And I'm thankful for the opportunities that we've had. But it shouldn't end when coronavirus ends. We should seek to win the lost and bear that fruit in our lives that would please the Lord. But again, we have to be in the Word of God. We have to be under the teaching of the Word of God. We have to be in prayer, and we need that fellowship. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for the teaching of your Word and the many examples that we have that compare and contrast what is right and what is wrong, what is spiritual, what is carnal. I just pray that you'd help us to grow and to diligently seek you on a daily basis, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.